Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open, and we invite your call to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to add to the conversation, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. A lot of times, as far as prayer is concerned, we ask, what are we to pray for? What are we to pray about? And here, the Apostle Paul gives us some very specifics to offer petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving for all people. And then he goes on to say, for kings and all those in authority. So those would be government officials, all those in authority around us, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So Paul is urging us to pray for our leaders, to pray for those who are in authority, to pray for kings, to pray for all people. And he has a specific reason in urging us to do so, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And it gets back to what we've already talked about this week as far as be anxious for nothing. Yes. When we look at the political landscape, if we look at what's happening in the world today, it's easy to become anxious about the future, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you look at Facebook, you look at just any of the social media channels, you just see people that are just wringing their hands, fretting over what may or may not happen after the election in November. Our country's just going to be wiped away if this person's elected or if that person's elected, and we get anxious about those things. And so Paul says, well, pray about it. Pray about those who are in authority so that you can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, because ultimately God is still in charge. The future is in his hands, no one else's. He can lift up kings and take them down. That's just been history, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So we need to have this sense of peace and calm that God really is sovereign, and that his sovereign will is being exercised and expressed in this world. And we as children of God have an opportunity to participate in that. So why do we pray for those in authority? So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And this is good. Why? Because there's even a bigger purpose. Not that we can just live quiet lives and godliness and holiness, but so that we can participate in the bigger purposes of God. And what is that? This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What is the bigger picture of this world at large? It's people who are lost that need to be saved by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We can be a point of connection for that to happen as we reach out to people and share the goodness of Christ, the gospel of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And people can be saved, snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of God's Son. That is powerful stuff. So I think praying for our authorities, praying for those in government spots, can calm our own hearts, recognizing that God really is in control and that he has purposes for us that are greater than fixing the problems of the world. And that's fixing the hearts of men.
Yeah.
Only the gospel can do that. And that's why Jesus is that mediator between God and man, and we can offer him to the world. That's why we pray, and that's why it's so important for us to pray for those who are in charge.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I have two questions today. So the idea you have presented this month, where a lot of people are tempted to simply add more people to their prayer requests, thinking that it's going to get answered more effectively that way, and how Jesus called out the people who just kept babbling on and on, that's an idea that's new to me, and so both of my questions have to do with that. My first question is, so James chapter 5 says that we should pray for one another. And so my first question is, what's the value of praying for one another when seemingly I could just pray for myself and get my prayer answered? And then the other question I have is, if 1 John 5 says we have what we have asked of God, should we pray for something more than once?
Well, Chris, those are both good questions. And the first question about praying for one another, here's what it does in my heart and in my life. As I pray for people, I see my heart being more deeply connected to the people that I'm praying for. I become more concerned about what they may be going through. And as I pray for what they're going through, then it seems like ideas come to mind as how I might can help them through that particular situation. So I think it deepens a person's love for the person that they're praying for. So I think that's why we pray for one another. And it's interesting because in that context of James, when he says pray for one another, he's telling them to pray for one another. Those that you've been fighting with, quarreling with, the being divided from because of certain situations. As you start to pray for them, you start to see healing take place in those relationships. As I said, you kind of put yourself in their shoes. You try to think, well, what was causing that to happen? Maybe they were going through something that I didn't know about. And so it makes you a little more sympathetic and empathetic with those that you may have been at odds with. So I think prayer really does something in your own heart toward that person that you're praying for. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it harkens to Hebrews 10, where he says, don't give up meeting together. Instead, come together and build each other up in the faith. Praying with and for other people helps us do that. Besides, if I come to you and ask you to pray for me and we start talking about it, I may discover that I misunderstood something and the prayer changes, or you misunderstood something and the prayer changes. It's all about growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus, and it's easier to do that sometimes in a group. It just is.
Yes, indeed. So, does that help on that question, Chris?
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. I hadn't considered the context that is surrounding James 5. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you sent in some prayer requests, and we appreciate that. And as I read through that, my heart grew more fonder of you. And you and I have met personally on a couple of occasions, and we've had email exchanges and different conversations, and my heart grew fonder of you just in reading those things that you wrote down, and I sure appreciate that. And I think that's a great and positive thing. Now, as far as praying for something just once or more than once, I think that's something. There's no rules as far as that is concerned. If you feel like praying for something more than once, pray for something more than once. Certainly Paul prayed to have that thorn of flesh removed from him on three different occasions. Jesus prayed on three different times for God to remove that cup from him. So there's not a magic formula on that. Sometimes you pray once and you just know in your heart that's all you needed. Sometimes you feel like you want to pray persistently about a single thing, and so you pray and pray and pray. And then I think there's a point in time where you think, well, I've prayed about that enough. I'm going to leave that really in God's hands because I think he's got an answer for it. So I don't think there's any rules. So if you feel impressed to pray about something more than once, do so. I mean, you're in relationship with God. He loves you. He's not going to chastise you for praying more than once. I think he's just going to recognize, you know, the real desires of your heart. So if you feel like you need to pray about something more than once, pray about it more than once.
Yeah. Think about this in terms of conversation. I mean, when I have a conversation with my wife or with a good friend or my children, we talk about things more than once. And it's not seen as a bad thing. And then there are times when you realize you're done. And that's all we're doing with Jesus, with God the Father, in fact, is having this conversation. So as long as the Spirit is impressing you to continue that conversation in that topic area, do so.
Does that make sense,
yeah,
Chris?
Like, on the one hand, I could see how some people might say, oh, well, where's your faith? You know, 1 John chapter 5 says, that you already have it, so why do you need to pray about it more than once? But the fact that we're children of God, I mean, Richard, what you say is absolutely correct, that since we're children of God, we can just carry on conversations with our Heavenly Father, and I think that's what it's all about. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for your call, and thanks for sending in those prayer requests. We sure appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you for praying for me, and thanks for, as always, making yourselves available and preaching the good news of Jesus.
Well, thank you, Chris. God bless you, my friend. Have a great day.
God bless you, too.
Okay.
844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. And by the way, the next stop on the Simple Gospel Tour is Canada. Bob Christopher is going to be speaking at the King's Center in Langley, British Columbia. Well, that's actually this coming Friday and Saturday. We want all of our friends, all of you in the area, to come and meet Bob and hear the heartening, reassuring message of the Basic Gospel. You'll find all the information under the Events tab at basicgospel.net. So again, for you folks in British Columbia, Bob would like to meet you this Friday and Saturday at the King's Center in Langley, British Columbia. All the information available under the Events tab at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. You know, when you look at life and you look at people and you look at what they really want, what they really desire, it's a measure of certainty, isn't it?
Yes.
We want to have a solid rock to stand on. We want to know that there's something constant and consistent in our lives. And there's only one constant, only one piece of consistency, and that's the love of God in the person of Christ Jesus. So that's what this conference is all about, is to connect you to the certainty of God's love and to equip you to live in that love each and every day. And it's a powerful, powerful place to be. It gives you new perspective on everything else in life. It really gives you new eyes to see things from God's vantage point instead of your vantage point. And that really changes everything. So yeah. Come and be a part of this this weekend. I think you will really go away refreshed, encouraged, and connected to that one certain thing in life, the love of Christ Jesus.
That's what you'll be hearing about this Friday and Saturday at the King Center in Langley, British Columbia. Once again, click the Events tab at basicgospel.net for all the information on Bob Christopher's visit.
Let's go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk to Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hey, Bob. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well, thank you.
Thank you for the postcard inviting me to Langley. We met some years ago in the Vancouver area.
I remember that, and hopefully you can come join us this weekend. If not, maybe another time.
Yeah, it's a bit far for me to go, but hey, I found something that really had me almost fall out of my chair, and it's called The Doctrine of Discovery. It's a papal bull by Pope Nicholas V, papal bull Dum Diversus, on 18th of June, 1452. And I just wanted to read a little bit of it, if I could, just quickly. The Pope is authorizing people like Christopher Columbus to go forth and it says, and I quote, to invade, search out, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens and pagans whatsoever, and other enemies of Christ wheresoever placed, and the kingdoms, dukedoms, principalities, dominions, possessions, and all movable and immovable goods whatsoever held and possessed by them, and reduced their persons to perpetual slavery, and so on and so forth. And I thought, oh my goodness, the Pope is, with that edict, was saying by this doctrine of discovery that essentially North America could just be enslaved in the name of that papal authority. And I was thinking that is so far from the message of grace that we could come up with so very many New Testament scripture that would say, no, that is not allowable in the name of Christ. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree with what you're saying there. I mean, that's an incredible edict, but I think, you know, back in that day, they were trying to gain control of the world. It seems like, you know, it's trying to conquer the worldly kingdom instead of promoting the kingdom of God, spreading the kingdom of God, spreading the good news about Jesus, because that's what people need. People don't need to be enslaved. They need to be set free. Everyone comes into this world enslaved to sin and death, and the gospel is that liberating message that allows us to go free and to actually flourish as human beings. And that's what the church is supposed to be about, is offering that good news, lifting up the name of Jesus, allowing Jesus to unlock those chains of slavery to sin and death, and to allow all human beings, male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, to actually experience humanity as God designed it to be. So that just goes in the face of that. Certainly he didn't have much concern about the sanctity of life. So there's lots of things wrong with that. And, you know, I don't know all the history of the Catholic Church. Hopefully a pope in later years kind of reverse course on that. I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
And there's the concept of submission as well, that we're to live in submission to each other. And I'm thinking that also means not to forcibly try to convert people. Like, to me, that's related to living in submission to others, is to live and let live, you know, share the message of Christ. But, you know, we don't.
Well, here's the problem, like America, the United States of America. You know, we won our freedom. There was the Revolutionary War. Some men gathered together and they formed the Declaration of Independence. They wrote the Constitution of the United States. And so in a sense, they ordered what our freedom was going to look like moving forward. But the sustainability of that freedom really rests on the virtue of its citizens. So the citizens of the United States, that's why it's about self-government. It's about self-governing your fleshly desires and those sort of things. It's about the virtue of the people. Now, if the people have lost their virtue, have lost their sense of right and wrong, then the only thing that can happen is more laws and greater enforcement of it. And you see more and more of oppression. Well, we have to get back to the point of bringing truth to the table so that truth can work in the heart and so that truth can bring about this fruit of self-control in people's lives. And with that, we're going to have a society that can work together, that can live in harmony one with another. It's a big, daunting task, isn't it? But it's something that the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring about through individuals. Then as individuals gather together in communities, you will see some positive things take place. But if that's not the case, then we have to rely on laws and the enforcement of those laws to bring about order in our society. And the less virtue, the more laws. The more laws, the more enforcement, and it just becomes a vicious, vicious cycle.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Say hi to Rod when you're out there in BC, would you?
I sure will, Miles. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to Dennis in Texas and talk with Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. What's on your mind today?
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I've got two things. One, I would love to become a preacher one day. I don't know biblically what the Bible says about a woman being a preacher. Two, Satan has a grip on me with an addiction that is not illegal, but I keep praying, like the parable says, you know, if someone keeps knocking on your door at night wanting bread, wouldn't you finally say, okay? Well, I keep praying, and I can't get released from an addiction.
Okay. What specifically is the addiction? Do you mind saying that? Or
it's gambling.
Okay. Okay. Well, Stephanie, here's an interesting thing. You know, I see a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people over my 30 years of being in ministry that make statements like you just did, that I want to be a preacher, I feel I've been called to preach, and yet there's something that's holding them back. And so if they can just get rid of that problem, then they think they can be set free to do what they feel like God has called them to. Or they want to get into preaching or ministry, hoping that that activity would put an end to the other activity. Well, that's not going to work either. So what I think is that a lot of times we mistake a call to ministry for a simple call to Christ. So you are having a gambling problem. You're probably trying to fix it through human effort, doing everything that you know what to do or how to do to try to get rid of it. And the more you try to get rid of it, the greater the hold it has on you. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's just the way sin works. So the only way out of that is releasing it to God. So you have been working yourself like crazy to get rid of this gambling addiction. So you're probably just worn out. And so Christ is saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. And that's what you need in this situation. You need rest, don't you? And you need Christ to handle that addiction for you. And I think what he's going to start teaching you is his love for you. The fact that that sin has been forgiven once and for all, that Jesus shed his blood, and that you stand before him as a forgiven person. So you know you've come to Christ by faith. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you know Christ lives in you, and the fact that he lives in you proves that your sins have been forgiven, even the sin of gambling. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So you can thank him for that. And in learning to thank him for that, you're going to find some rest for your soul. But here's what I want to do, Stephanie. I want to send you a book that I think will be a big help to you. I want you to read it and call us back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on.
Yeah. Once again, the next stop on the Simple Gospel Tour is Canada. Bob Christopher will be there this Friday and Saturday speaking at the King Center in Langley, British Columbia. And we want all of you, our friends in the area, to come meet Bob and hear the exciting and reassuring message of the basic gospel, as he discussed just a little bit earlier. You'll find all the information on this particular appearance under the Events tab at basicgospel.net. Again, Bob will be speaking at the King Center in Langley, British Columbia this Friday and Saturday. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.